from chasing dream jobs to rethinking masculinity and having a look at suicide prevention. This week's news asks us to question what we value, how we connect, and who gets a seat at the table when change is on the line. Is your dream job still dreamy? This was an episode on the ABC podcast, This Working Life, and it really caught my attention because I'm one of those people who love what I do for work. And I always had that belief, like many others, that if you do what you love for work, you never work a day in your life. And as it turns out, it means you end up working almost every day of your life. Every book I read is related to my work. Every professional development, everything I'm learning, I spend tens of hours outside of business hours doing what I love. And this podcast hit a nerve for me because it really highlighted that if you love what you do and you can get into that zone, especially on weekends, it can leave you feeling burnt out. And so people who love their jobs are at a higher risk of burnout, which is interesting because I would have thought that having no purpose, no interest in your work would have led to sort of symptoms of depression and disengagement. And I think that still might be true. And there's some really good research that talks about that in the book Lost Connections. And I'll do a book review about that very soon. This episode was talking about whether passion leads to fulfillment and what we can do about it. So if you're working all weekend, like I sometimes tend to do, does that then put me in a burnout position? Does that make me more tired when I show up the next day? Does it mean I never get to switch off? And then there's the entrepreneurial side that if you're anywhere, anything like me, you think, oh, well, maybe I could turn what I love into a business and I can turn this. And so sometimes the thing you love most, if you start to monetize that, can be less fulfilling. So it was definitely one that had me thinking and reflecting about myself. And I was really glad that I've started taking up some art classes and some dance classes to try and combat work taking over my entire life. Do men need a male liberation? There was a really fantastic episode of Insight on SBS that talked about men's mental health, men's ideas of masculinity. And it looked at how men act towards each other, the expectations placed on modern man and how they vary from culture to culture, person to person, and how different men experience those and the pressures that they feel to either conform or how difficult it is to step away from that. And it really talked about the importance of good role models, both male and female, that a lot of men don't have strong female role models and may not have good quality male role models either. And in this episode, there was a real call for men to reflect on their power in relationships, to reflect on gendered expectations, even around sexuality, because not all men are heterosexual, and thinking about how they support each other, how men show up for their mates, and what behavior they allow to pass or what they police or don't in other men, both good and bad, things that they allow to happen that they maybe should step up with, and things that they might tease or mock that may not be worth doing anyway. Really great episode. I'll pop a link to that in the notes. It's really worth a watch. And last month, probably a little longer than that, the Mental Health Commission published its National Suicide Prevention Strategy for the next 10 years. Which emphasizes the inclusion of people with a lived experience in its prevention efforts. Now, it's got lots and lots of recommendations, and you can follow that up. I'll pop a link for you as well. But there was an ABC article that talked about lived experience being a valuable contribution to this strategy. And I really wanted to talk about that. In mental health, we sometimes undervalue or under-resource people with a lived experience, and it needs to be included. I think it's a really important role where people who've lived through suicide in this case, who've had non-fatal suicide attempts or who have engaged in mental health services, are really well placed to know what works, what doesn't work, and share their experience. Not as a tick box exercise, but add meaningful contribution and provide them with the right support so they are not further traumatized or activated or triggered, and that they have got the support around them to perform that job really well and be a valuable contribution. And on a lighter note, Wednesday Addams is back. And if you're loved season one, season two is also great, but I absolutely love this. And what I love about this character is how her parents adore her for who she is, how her dad loves her quirky, unusual hobbies, interests, is so fond of her behind those interests, doesn't judge her for them. And I think that's really beautiful and something we need a little bit more of in our world. So if you haven't watched season one, check it out. It's really great. A lot of nostalgia and some really good, fun, quirky, some really great scripting, some really great cast. I really enjoyed it. And that's it for the weekly wrap. If there's something you want to learn more about, let me know. I'd like to do maybe a full episode on it. And if you've got a story that I haven't covered or something that you want to know, learn a little bit more about, get in touch. Thanks for now. Bye.